Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memories.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I
long
once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy,
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what
joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And once again, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, again, as we go into your word, we're in need of and asking the Holy Spirit to be with us, to open our hearts and our minds, Father, that we can retain what He is trying to teach all this evening. And Father, may it help us to grow in knowledge, in wisdom, so that we can, through the word, reach out to help others that are walking in darkness to come to the knowledge of knowing that they need the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, be with us throughout this study, and I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, all of you know of the evening, we take communion. So if you're all ready, get your bread. Now, the Lord Jesus, on the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So eat your bread. Get your cup. And after the same manner also, He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Drink your cup. For as often as you eat this bread drink this cup, you do show the Lord to death till he comes. All right. Now, we're going to be going back into Kings, 1 Kings. And we're going to be in chapter 11. This morning, we had 9 and 10. Chapter 11 is actually 40 verses. So we, well, actually, it's 43 verses. But we don't know whether we'll get all the way through it or not. But we'll see what the Lord has for us as we learn. Go along and learn. Now, as we start here, chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Amorites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, the Hittites, and of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in to you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their God. Solomon clave unto these in love. 3, and he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord in God, as was the heart of David, his father." And we find, you know, Solomon's power and wealth became his undoing. And the taking of foreign wives, whether in the making of alliance or in order to increase his harem, was not only a violation of the law of Moses, but extremely dangerous spiritually. But he did it anyway. Here, you got one man with 700 wives and 300 concubines. And we know today that it's hard for us to keep one happy, let alone that many. Now, 5, for Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonian, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. 7, then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon, and likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Nan. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord, God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. And wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. The Lord's telling Solomon he's going to take the kingdom away from him now and give it to his servant. 12. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. And howbeit I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son, for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. He's not going to take it from Solomon, but he's going to be taking it from Solomon's son. And he'll take everything but one. He's going to let him have one for himself. 14. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon. Hadad, the Edomite, he was of the king's seed in Edom. Now, you see, Solomon was doubly blameworthy. God had personally appeared to him twice to give him great wisdom and wealth and to instruct him explicitly in matters relative to divine government. And despite Solomon's lack of fidelity, God would remain faithful for the retaining of one tribe. And we know that the Lord, he stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, which is Hadad the Edomite, and he was the king's seed in Edom. Now, 15. For it came to pass when David was in Edom, and Joab, the captain of the host, was gone up to bury the slain, after he had smitten every male in Edom. 16. For 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel until he had cut off every male in Edom. 17. That Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him to go into Egypt. Hadad being yet a little child. And they arose out of Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them out of Paran, and they came to Egypt and to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which gave him a house and appointed him victuals and gave him land. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him to wife the sister of his own wife, the sister of, pronounce her name, T-A-H-P-E-N-E-S. Anyway, the queen. Now, 20. And the sister of like I said, I can't pronounce her name. Bear him, Genevieve, his son, whom she weaned in Pharaoh's house, and Genevieve was with Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh. Now, 21. And when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers and that Joab, the captain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, let me depart that I may go to my own country. He's wanting to go to his own country now. Now, 22. Then Pharaoh said unto him, but what hast thou lacked with me, that behold, thou seekest to go to thine own country? And he answered, nothing. Howbeit, let me go in anyways. Now, you know, Hadad had escaped the slaughter of Edomite army in David's day, had made his way to Egypt. Pharaoh had received him well, perhaps so that after Solomon died, he would have a strong ally for himself and a hated enemy of Israel in Edom, on Israel's strategic eastern border. And there in 23 through 25, we're going to find this. A second adversary, an Armenian named Rezon, had survived David's crushing defeat of the Armenians of Zobah and Damascus. He had managed to avoid Solomon's later thrust against Zobah, and still later had managed to make himself king of Damascus. And we had read now through 23, so we go to 24. And he gathered men unto him and became captain over a band when David slew them of Zobah. And they went to Damascus and dwelt therein and reigned in Damascus. 25, and he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, beside the mischief that Hadad did, he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. 26. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and Ethahite of Zerinda, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zerah, a widow woman. Even he lifted up his hand against the king. 27. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. And the man, Jeroboam, was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon seemed the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. 29, and it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they too were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. He tore it up. 31. And he said to Jeroboam, take the 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. 33. Because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chismash, the god of the Moabites, and Malcolm, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David, his father. Now, 34. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David, my servant's sake, whom I chose, because he kept commandments and my statutes. God is still honoring the covenant he made with David, although David has gone on to be with him. David has already died and everything. But God is still honoring that covenant because David did not walk away as his son Solomon did. David kept the commandments and the statutes. 35. So I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And to his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light always before me in Jerusalem, city which I have chosen me to put my name there. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shall be king over Israel. Now, he's got 10 tribes, and God's given one tribe now to the servant. Well, what happened to the other tribe? We haven't found out so far, have we? 38. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house that I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. 39. And I will, for this, afflict the seed of David, but not forever. 40. Solomon sought, therefore, to kill Jeroboam. And Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt unto Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. 41. And the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did in his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? 42. And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam. His son reigned in his stead. Because of David and the covenant that God had made with him, he let Solomon go ahead, even though Solomon had walked in Solomon's far way. He took a lot of things away from him, but he let him also remain king until he died. And then he put all of it into his son's hand. And that ain't going to work out too awful good either, I'm afraid. Because they were under the Mosaic Law, and none of them was actually keeping that Mosaic Law. None of the Jewish people were actually really keeping it. David was one of the true ones, and he was just about the last of them. But we got a few more prophets coming along that will keep his commandments and things. But as far as kings and all, David was about the last one that really kept it. Now, we have come to the end of chapter 11. We're going to be stopping here now and for this evening. We've got there's 22, I think. 22 chapters, I think, yeah. 22 chapters of First Kings. But we are getting there. But a lot of these chapters are lengthy. So it takes a while to get through them. But we are learning quite a bit about the old ways and how God treated those of that day for breaking his commandments and his statutes. And we went through the New Testament. We know quite a bit about how he will be treating those now of our day and time that breaks his statutes. It is the man. And we know that's not going to be good at all either. Because to set in a lake of fire all through eternity, with all that pain and all, and never no way out. I want all of you that hears this to think about this, to see how much you are willing to pay and to do for the Lord in order to make heaven your home? Or if you're willing to just sit back now, you go ahead and let this hell and lake of fire be your home throughout eternity. And the weeping and crying and the hollering and wailing and the torture and the pain and never no way out of it. Think about it. And it's your choice. You can't blame God. He has told you what would happen for you to choose either way. And the choice now is yours to make. So I'm asking you, what will it be? Think about it. And I pray that you'll join with me in the morning, God willing, at 10 a.m. and back in to the Word of Almighty God. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as I close your word, I do thank you for this word, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for those that join with us, that does hear this word, and that will worship with us, to praise you, and to thank you for everything that you have given to us, and the ways you have made for us to be able to spend eternity with you. Father, I'm praying this evening the peace for Israel. And I pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Messiah. Father, for this land of ours, I'm praying that those evil people that have brought all this evil upon us and has taken the Lord Jesus Christ out of everything, that they be removed from office and be replaced, ones that belong to you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, loves your church, loves your people, and loves this land, and will work with us and see that our government is put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word, Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray now for those that are on my heart, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy, Tom, and Jacob, Bobby, and Millie Johnson, my wife, those, Father, in the Fredericksburg nursing home. And I pray for Sue Branson, for Daryl and Debbie, for Courtney and Shane, for Chris and Sam, for that little family, for myself, Father, and for all of our family, our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, and each and every member of our family. We all have family members, Father, walking in darkness. And I'm praying, Father, and asking the Holy Spirit to work with them, to help to bring them out of that darkness into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they can be repent and be forgiven to start making their way to making heaven their home, so that none be lost. Now, Father, be with us all through this night. Keep us through the night in health. And those that have any sickness or disease, Father, I'm praying for their healing right now. For them to be healed by the stripes that Jesus bore. That is what your word promises. That those stripes he bore, we are healed. No mites, no maybes. We are. So let them put their faith to work, Father, and their belief, accept it, and see it done. This I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great, great night. And walk with God, he'll walk with you. Have a good one.